Everybody and everybody ought to praise the Lord. This is your host of Lift High, the Cross Radio Broadcast, Apostle W.D. Carter, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. And today we're going to continue in the teaching from the message, The Harlot Church System. And we've been doing that for several weeks now. We want you to continue with us in the study. Praise His Majesty and Holy Name. Today we are going to be talking about the spirit of Jezebel, and we are going to define how that spirit impacts our everyday practical existences as believers. We're going to study that today. So please turn your Bible to the 21st chapter of 1 Kings. And we're going to look at the incident between Ahab and Naboth, and then we're going to get into the study. And the first verse of 1 Kings 21:1, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which he had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that, Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. We're going to stop right there, praise the Lord, and in the text, and we're going to begin our study. praise his holy and matchless name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Jezebel spirit defined. The Jezebel harlot spirit is seeking anything for self. It is the idolatry of self, self-love. Philippians 2:21 reads, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Whoever seeks his own is into self-love. Self-love is idolatry. Let me stop right there for a minute. I want to make that statement again. Whosoever seeks his own is into self-love. Okay? And when we look at Romans the 8th chapter says that, "For they that are of the flesh," or after the flesh, "do mind the things of the flesh." This is what this statement is saying. Whosoever seeks his own is into self-love. Self-love is idolatry. The idolatry of self. And all idolatry is spiritual harlotry. Our sin nature is prone to self-love, and his condition is made worse, and this condition is made worse by the enticement of demonic spirits. Okay? Every man is tempted of his own lust. Okay? Every man is tempted of his own lust. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Okay? And so our sin nature is prone to self-love, and this condition is made worse by the enticement of demonic spirits. The harlot spirit is present any time we try to build something in the flesh for self. In contrast, the Holy Spirit is present when we set our hearts to build only for him and by him. We deceive ourselves when we think that our great church building programs are for him. They are not. They are for self. Many well-meaning but ill-informed Christians try to exploit the Holy Spirit to advance themselves. Many fake the presence of the Holy Spirit to make their church or their services look good. This is wrong. We have not been given the Holy Spirit to make the harlot look good. In other words, praise the Lord, what's happening when we're operating in the idolatry of self is that many of the designs and programs that we come up with do not originate with the Holy Spirit. They originate with ourselves. That's why, in the end, the ministry that we're operating in is always referred to as my ministry. It is not the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that we came up with, praise God, and we want to force that off as though it came from the Holy Spirit, but it did not come from the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and let me show you something. To the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. And this is going to, this is what's going to happen to a lot of so-called believers on the day of judgment when they stand before the Lord. Okay? And, you know, I don't want you to think that your day of judgment or our day of judgment is far off, because the Word of God says it is appointed unto man to die. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Okay? So we're going to die. We have a date with death, but we don't really know when that date is. So me speaking about this is applicable, praise the Lord, to our situation today. Listen to this. Look at chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, and I'll start at verse 13. Hallelujah. Verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So you have to ask yourselves the question, well, wait a minute. I spent all my life in ministry, and when I get to the throne, okay, I'm in jeopardy of being told that the Lord never knew me, and that that the work I did was the work of iniquity. And you have to ask yourself, how could that be possible? Well, it's possible based on the fact that when we operated in our time of life in ministry, that ministry that we operated in wasn't the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what the people ask when they said to him, Lord, Lord, did we not do, you know, great and mighty, wonderful works in your name? In other words, their emphasis was on what they did, not what the Lord did. That's what happened. They never, okay, these people never accessed the heart and mind and will of the Lord. These people were not filled with the Spirit of God. They were never saved. What it was is that they entered the ministry. They went into the harlot church system and sat there and joined the church organization, and their ambition told them that they could do the same thing that they saw the pulpit do it. They set it up, okay? They did all that work, and God honored the name of his son, okay? But he never honored them. And so, praise the Lord, we have to beware of the harlotry of self. The harlotry of self. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Jezebel spirit is further defined by her deeds. She leads God's servants astray. Listen to that, people. She leads God's servant astray. Praise the Lord. The Jezebel spirit leads astray God's bond servants, those who willingly commit to serving Christ. The Jezebel of Thyatira led her people astray through her doctrine, the things she taught. You understand? The things she taught. The people were led astray through the doctrine of Jezebel. Okay? Just as many people are led astray today through the doctrine of prosperity. Are you listening? The Lord said, but to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine. She was violating their minds in spirituality with false teachings, namely those teachings that would exalt self, especially herself, that she might have the rule over them. In this, she was causing them to eat things sacrificed to idols. The idols in this case were self. All idolatry stems from the love of self. It stems from us seeking something for ourselves. We're not really seeking something. We're not really seeking the will of the Lord. We're not really seeking, okay, the will of the Lord in our service in the kingdom. We're serving in terms of our own agenda. That's idolatry. And if you're sitting up under the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel will teach you exactly how to do that. Let's look at Jezebel and Ahab, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, all right? Listen to this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Through her doctrines, she did the same thing. Balaam was found guilty of doing Through her doctrine, she did the same thing Balaam was found guilty of doing. The use of this expression, eating things sacrificed to idols, links her to Balaam. Knowing who Balaam was and what he did explain who the Nicolaitans were, and now explains who that woman Jezebel was. They all sought something for self in order to gain dominance over the people. Eating things sacrificed to idols is what we do when we allow the old, arrogant, self-centered, self-promoting man of flesh and sin to rule rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to rule. It is the lordship of the harlot instead of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Some of Thyatira was beguiled by the self-seeking, self-promoting doctrine advanced by that woman Jezebel. These doctrines later influenced the rise of the clergy system. It was a system of men's self-seeking traditions based on power, position, pomp, preeminence, riches, and domination. Those in the churches today who violate God's sheep in order to increase themselves in power, position, and domination are likewise causing the sheep to eat things sacrificed to idols, the idol of self-glorification. Now let's look at the text again concerning Ahab and Naboth, and you will see the exact thing taking place. Praise his holy and matchless name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Look what this says here, right in the text. Let me give you. Now, watch this. Praise God. Okay. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, now listen exactly to what Naboth said to Ahab. Naboth said, the Lord forbid me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Now you have to listen to that and understand that, because if you're not listening carefully, you will assume that that Naboth is defying the king Ahab. Remember, Ahab is the king of Israel. And so for him to ask Naboth for his land so that he could, you know, make it a garden of herbs, take Naboth's land and make it a garden of herbs, might seem like it's okay. But Naboth said to him, the Lord forbid me. In other words, what Naboth was saying is that, listen, okay, the Lord, the word of the Lord tells me that I can't give you my father's inheritance, because the law of the Lord was that of the inhabitants of the land that was given to the Israelites, okay, they were not to sell the land nor trade it off. They were not to give the land away. They were not to sell it. Now, they could rent it out for like a certain amount of years, like 7 years, but then that land had to be returned. That's why there was a jubilee, because that land that they had lent out to somebody had to be returned to them, okay? The Lord did not want them giving away or selling the land, because he wanted them to remain in the land. So each person that had a segment of land, they had to hold on to that property so that their children could inherit the property, so that the Israelites would be in the land perpetually, okay? So when Naboth told Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee, then Ahab should have acknowledged that was the word of the Lord. Instead, he didn't. And he went home, okay, sulking, okay? The reason why Ahab didn't acknowledge the word of the Lord, because Ahab himself was an unbeliever. He had given himself over to Baal. So for all intents and purposes, you had the king of Israel, okay, was submitted, all right, to the spirit of Jezebel under Baal. Are you listening? And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he has said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Okay. Now watch this. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I speak unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Now, you know from the text that that's not what Naboth said. See, Ahab already made it appear to Jezebel, his wife, that Naboth was defying him, when in all actuality, Ahab was defying the Lord God. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the king? Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling in Naboth, that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme the king, that thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, sons of Belial, and set before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. So I want you to keep in mind that whole sequence of events which led to the death of Naboth. Okay? Praise his holy and matchless name. Hallelujah. Now let's look at some notes that I wrote about this very incident. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. First, let's look at Romans, the 13th, the first and second verse, so that we can establish a principle. I want you to understand this. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's Romans 13, 1 to 2. Now that principle tells you that all authority is established of God. And so all of us as the people of God are to be subject to the authority of God, okay, no matter who that authority is manifested in and conduited through. We are to be submitted to that authority. However, praise the Lord, there are times when we're going to catch ourselves, okay, caught between the ultimate authority of God and the delegated authority of man, okay? In this instance with Ahab, with Naboth and Ahab, Naboth found himself caught between the ultimate authority of God and the delegated authority of man in Ahab the king. And so Naboth had to make a choice of whose authority he was going to obey. And he chose to obey the ultimate authority of God rather than the delegated authority of man. And as a result, he suffered the death penalty. Now, you as true believers have to understand that there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to be up against that same challenge. For instance, the woman down, I think, in Texas or somewhere in one of these southern states that stood up against the homosexual agenda, okay, in her office. She's a city clerk, and she said that she was not going to sign any certificates of marriage in a same-sex marriage scenario. She wouldn't do it, okay? And so she ended up having to go to jail. In that instance, this woman was correct in that she chose to obey the ultimate authority of God over the delegated authority of man. And so you have to understand this principle, because you have to be submitted to the authority of God. Now, both the authority of God and the delegated authority of man originate with God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power, no authority, but of God. The authorities that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the authority, resisteth the ordinance, the law of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So you have to understand that principle as a believer, because you're definitely going to be put in a position, praise the Lord, where you have to choose whether or not you to obey the ultimate authority of God as opposed to the delegated authority of man. The believer must know and understand that the acts of God originate from his throne. God's authority is the foundation upon which his throne is established. God's authority represents God himself. Hebrews 1:3 declares that the very universe itself is maintained, guided, propelled, and upheld by the mighty word of his power. The word power in the original means authority. Hence, it is by the spoken word of God's authority that the entire universe in its many facets is held together. Colossians 1:17 states that it is through and by Jesus, who is the word of God, Revelation 19:16, that the worlds consist, are held together, cohere. This means that God's authority is inherent in his word, and that everyone who claims salvation must be subject to God's authority, which is his word. In other words, anyone who has claimed a covenant relationship with the true and living God and walks in disobedience to his spoken and or written word is in direct violation of his authority and has committed the spiritual crime of rebellion. The believer must know and understand that rebellion against God's word is a criminal act against God and his kingdom, and serves to repudiate the authority of God himself, who is the ultimate authority. God, and God alone, is the authority in all things. God has instituted all authority in the earth. Authority is a tremendous thing. Nothing overshadows it. Therefore, it is of paramount importance that anyone who has claimed Christ as both Savior and Lord be submitted to God's authority. The believer must know and understand that all sin and rebellion has its origin in Satan. Let me say that again. The believer must know and understand that all sin and rebellion has its origin in Satan. Thus, everyone who refuses to submit himself or herself to God's authority becomes a willing participant in a confederacy of evil against God and his people. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The believer must know and understand that as soon as Eve capitulated to the serpent's deception, she immediately seduced her husband into rebelling against God. Using his love for her as an incentive, she convinced him. She convinced Adam through satanic manipulation, witchcraft, to disobey God by giving him all of the compelling reasons she herself had come up with. In other words, she asserted a negative influence upon him with her words. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Proverbs 7:21. This is what happens, praise the Lord. And I want you to understand also, because I can discern that many of you listening to this, right away, you know, and I'm talking about you as women, will, you know, become defensive, praise the Lord, and you want to, you know, implicate the man also, where the man is implicated under the spirit of Jezebel. Understand that. It is the men who tolerate that spirit to operate in their lives. They tolerate the spirit of Jezebel as we are tolerating, as we men, okay, are tolerating the spirit of Jezebel to operate in the land today, and we're going to get into that. The believer must know and understand that Satan's intent of setting his throne above the throne of God was the thing which violated God's authority. It was the principle of self-exaltation. They who walk in rebellion are those who refuse to submit to any authority and or controls. Thus, it was not the act of sinning that caused the fall of Satan. This was but the product of his rebellion. It was his rebellion that God condemned. It was his attitude of rebellion that God condemned. And people who operate in an attitude of rebellion, okay, will produce the act of rebellion in their everyday practical experiences. And this is what we have to understand, particularly in the face of the idolatry of self. Okay, everybody, that's all of us who are walking in the idolatry of self, are operating in an attitude of rebellion, which produces the act of rebellion. Are you listening? Praise his holy and matchless name. Thus, the scripture declares, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Are you listening? Are you understanding what's happening here? Lucifer was operating in the idolatry of self and conspired in his attitude of rebellion, produced a conspiracy to overthrow God in his own kingdom. This is a universal conspiracy against God and his kingdom. Okay? Satan, or Lucifer, decided that he was going to be self-autonomous, that he was going to be his own authority. And that's what we're doing, praise the Lord, when we're operating in the idolatry of self. We have decided that we're going to operate independent of God. The fool has said in his heart, "No God, no God for me." And hence a fool is one who has decided to operate in, he has decided to operate in his life independent of the plans and purposes of God for his life. That's a fool. Stop thinking that a fool lacks intelligence. Being a fool has nothing to do with a lack of intelligence. Praise the Lord, because we have geniuses who are fools, who have decided that based on their genius alone, that they will operate in self-autonomy. They will operate independent of the plans and purposes of God. In fact, from their point of view, there is no God. They don't believe in God. Are you listening? This is the characteristic of Lucifer. He is operating in the idolatry of self. The believer must know and understand that certain usurped or overthrew a God's authority in man through his wife Eve. God had committed to Adam federal headship over the creation. This commission put Adam in the position of delegated authority. It was the authority invested in Adam by God that Satan was after. By his capitulation to the voice of his wife over the voice of his God, Adam rebelled against the command of his God. Thus, the Apostle Paul declared that the woman was forbidden to teach or usurp authority over the man. The word usurp means to take or assume power, a position, property, rights, etc., and hold in position by force or without right. There are two reasons given for the apostolic command of 1 Timothy 2:11 to 14. First, man was given priority in creation, and as such, he is its federal head. This means that God intended for man to be in authority over the woman. Second, under the serpent's temptation, Eve was deceived and not Adam. In other words, the man is susceptible to rebellion, but the woman is susceptible to deception. Are you listening? As you read the text in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, you see that the positions of Adam and Eve were reversed when Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and negatively influenced her husband to eat of the fruit, and he ate thereof. In other words, Eve assumed authority over Adam rather than Adam operating in the delegated authority that God had given him over his wife and the creation. Hence, the creation was cursed because of Adam, not Eve. Eve was deceived into the transgression, but Adam actually rebelled against the command. Praise his holy name. Let the woman learn in quietness, in entire submissiveness. I allow no man to teach or to have authority. I allow no woman to teach or have authority over men. She is to remain in quietness and keep silence in religious assemblies, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman who was deceived and deluded and fell into the transgression. Praise the Lord. And this is the correct instruction, because the woman was made for the man, not the man for the woman. You have to understand these principles in order to operate in your walk with the Lord correctly and effectively. Look what it says, let a woman learn in quietness and entire submissiveness. The Lord told me this the other day about the woman being in submission. The woman cannot be in submission to a man, praise the Lord, to any man that she doesn't trust. Trust in your leadership and in your integrity and in your honesty is what provokes submission in the woman. This is what the Lord actually means when he says, husband, love your wife. The husband who is submitted to his God is the one that the woman can be submitted to. Because because the man is saved, filled with the Spirit of God, and in submission to the Word of God, then the woman is able to trust his leadership, and as a result, operate in an attitude of submission to him. Because that's what submission is. Submission is an attitude. Obedience is an action. And so one can be obedient but not submitted based on a lack of trust in the one that she is to be submitted to. Praise his holy name. The believer must know and understand that the Apostle Paul never prohibited women from participating in ministry. Women of the first century church had great freedom of participation in ministry. And this is in reference to the argument, okay, about women being in ministry. But there is a certain way that the woman is allowed to operate in ministry. Many of Paul's co-workers were women. See Philippians 4:1. But it is significant that the New Testament warns men about taking authority positions in church. My brethren, be ye not many masters, knowing that we shall receive what? The greater condemnation. The believer must know and understand that rebellion and witchcraft are intrinsic to one another. Rebellion, although violent by nature, does not always take the form of violence. Witchcraft is the power or practice of magic, sorcery, wizardry, divination, necromancy, enchantment, spell, bewitchment, Wicca, voodoo, just to name a few, and is definitely linked to devil worship. Rebellion against constituted authority is very often executed through witchcraft. Thus, many who want power or control very often turn to the practice of witchcraft in order to get it. Witchcraft is designed to circumvent the laws of both God and man. In fact, most of the secret fraternal orders operate under the satanic principle of witchcraft. This is why no self-respecting, God-fearing Christian has any business being involved in secret societies of any kind. Today, Christians define witchcraft as the practice of intimidation in order to manipulate, in order to dominate, in order to control. Witchcraft is counterfeit spiritual authority. It is the act of soliciting and or operating in a different spirit in order to intimidate, manipulate, dominate, and control others. Thus, anyone who is attempting to seize authority or control illegally is considered to be practicing witchcraft. A classic example of practical witchcraft can be found in the first book of Kings, the 21st chapter. In this account, we discover the Jezebel spirit at work in its dastardly deed of stealing authority that did not belong to it. There was a man named Naboth who owned a vineyard in Jezreel that was in very close proximity to the palace of King Ahab. So because we've gone over that, praise the Lord, I want to move forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I want to go here, all right? So Jezebel wrote letters to the elders, noblemen, and men of Jezreel in Ahab's name and sealed it with his seal, instructing him to proclaim a fast and to set Naboth high among the people. She further instructed that they find some men of ill repute to accuse Naboth of blasphemy of both God and the king. Then they were to take him outside and stone him to death. And the elders, noblemen, and men of Jezreel did all that Jezebel's letter instructed, and Naboth was taken outside of the city and was stoned until he was dead. Then they sent and informed Jezebel that Naboth was dead. And as soon as she heard this, she went and told her husband, and he went down to Jezreel to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Upon observing this, the Lord spoke a word to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, in Samaria. He is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to possess it. Say to him, thus saith the Lord, have you killed and taken possession? Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours." Then Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" Elijah answered and said, "I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord." It must be understood that although Jezebel is the actual person behind the murder of Naboth, God held Ahab responsible. The reason being that Ahab is the one who actually was vested with governmental authority from God. Jezebel's evil influence over her husband becomes especially prominent in this particular account. Both Ahab and Jezebel erroneously believed the king was the ultimate authority in Israel. They failed to acknowledge God's sovereignty over Israel. Consequently, Ahab refused to honor the reality that Nabal had a legal right to refuse to give him his land despite him being king. Ahab was willing to murder a godly Israelite in order to acquire what was to him a mere vegetable garden. Hence, the most heinous act of Ahab came in the matter of Nabal. A king's primary responsibility was to render justice in the land. Ahab egregiously violated this requirement by stealing from a man he had murdered through Jezebel. And according to the law of Moses, this was a stoning offense. This meant that the prophet Elijah, acting as God's prime minister, had a legitimate right to pronounce the judgment of God upon Ahab. Okay? Do you understand that? Praise the Lord. The prophet of God had a legitimate right. Okay? And those of you, praise the Lord, who are authentic believers in the body of Christ have a legitimate right to pronounce judgment against the spirit of Jezebel operating in the land today. Glory be to his matchless name. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. And so you see the two words power in that sentence, praise the Lord. The first one is authority. Behold, I give unto you authority I give unto you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy. Satan has ability, but has no legal authority to operate in it. Are you understanding me? And so, praise the Lord, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no business tolerating the operation of the spirit of Jezebel in the land. Glory be to God. But if you don't know your position in the land, praise the Lord, you don't know your position in the Lord Jesus Christ based on your lack of ingesting and digesting the word of God, you can't operate legitimately in God's authority. That's why, praise the Lord, we always default back to the flesh and operate, praise the Lord, in self-idolatry through the means of witchcraft. Praise his holy and matchless name. Jezebel literally usurped authority by making the letter she wrote to the elders in Jezreel official using the king's seal. She knew that the Mosaic law stated that blasphemy against God was a stoning offense and that these kinds of offenses required two or more witnesses. She even went as far as to elevate Ahab to the same status as that of God by including blasphemy against the king in her charge. Are you listening? So this was a major conspiracy that Jezebel came up with in order to acquire Nabal's land illegitimately. She even suborned perjury from two sons of Belial in order, okay, to murder Nabal in the king's name. She deliberately hatched her conspiracy in conscience disobedience to the revealed will of God. Jezebel not only stole the king's authority, but she also manipulated the minds of the leadership of Jezreel. In other words, she got them to do her dirty work. The fundamental goal of the spirit of Jezebel is to control God's people. I'll say it again. The fundamental goal of the spirit of Jezebel is to control God's people. Her aim is to manipulate righteous people into abandoning their personal convictions in order that she might do her religious works. A natural byproduct of Ahab's opposition to God was his perception of Elijah as his enemy. That's why, you understand, you are the pulpit's enemy. When you spot that spirit of Jezebel operating through the pulpit, that's why you become the pulpit's enemy. because Jezebel knows who the true believer is and is actively working to overthrow their conviction in terms of to their faith. Actively attempting to overthrow their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Ahab sold himself in that he was so bound and determined to have what belonged to Naboth that he was willing to sacrifice not only Naboth, but also his own life and entire future in order to get it. In other words, praise the Lord, many in the pulpit will not only sell their soul to get what they want, they will sell your soul also. As a consequent result, God would pay him the wages of sin, which would be trouble and death. The Lord would remove all human support from him and would cut off his dynasty. God would sweep him away like so much filth. As for Jezebel, she was consigned to be eaten of the wild dogs that lived off the garbage in the city. She became outpost for the dogs that ate the garbage in the city. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Are you listening? Many of you, praise the Lord, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being his priest. You shall not be his priest. And he has also rejected your children. Glory be to his matchless name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Jezebel spirit leads astray God's bondservants, those who willingly commit to serving Christ. The Jezebel of Thyatira led people astray through her doctrine, the things she taught. Okay? She incites to Baal worship. It is not coincidental that the... No, let me... Hold on, I'm sorry. I don't want to move ahead of myself. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Those in the churches today who violate God's sheep in order to increase themselves in power, position, and domination are likewise causing the sheep to eat things sacrificed to idols, the idols of self-glorification. It is not coincidental that the woman in Revelation chapter 2 is named Jezebel, or that the woman in Revelation chapter 17 is called Mother of Harlots. There could be no more perfect picture of all that is an abomination to God than the Jezebel of 1 Kings 16, who married Ahab, king of Israel. As we investigate her life and practices, we shall surely be convinced that she serves as a symbolic type of the harlot spirit in the church system that was to come. So you need to understand, praise the Lord, that mystery, Babylon religion, okay, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots is Jezebel. Glory be to God. Jezebel was a Phoenician princess, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Tyre, of the Zidonians. Ahab, king of Israel, married her. The scripture reads, and it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him, okay, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he, Ahab, took the wife Jezebel and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. She led Ahab to worship Baal. Jezebel converted Ahab from the God of Israel to the God of Ethbaal. Are you listening? Baal was possessed. Rather, Baal means possessed, and was the god of the increase of flocks, crops, and families. It might be defined in present-day terms as greed. Baal is self-worship and characterized by the love of the world, the lust for power, position, riches, and domination, much like what we see throughout the history of the church and its system of clergy. If the Jezebel spirit can succeed in getting God's bond servants to worship other gods to get their eyes off of Jesus and onto themselves, she will have caused them to commit spiritual fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. She will have caused them to commit sins that are an abomination to God. Hallelujah. And as we continue to go on further in this teaching, we're going to discover how that very spirit, the very spirit of Jezebel, is operating through secular humanism today via the feminist and homosexual agendas. Are you listening? We're going to go deeply into that from this teaching so that you as true believers can understand definitively how the Bible is being played out in your everyday practical experiences. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm going to go on a little further. Praise the Lord. And then we're going to stop. And on Friday, we're going to continue this teaching. The Jezebel spirits consults the prophets of Baal. The prophet of Baal say things that appeal to and entice the desire of the flesh. This is exactly what has happened to a message of the gospel today. It has been reconfigured to appeal to the flesh of the hearer. Flesh. That's why, praise the Lord, you see mega churches. Okay? Because they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And when they can hear the message of the gospel reconstituted to appeal to their flesh, they flock to that. They come to that like flies to doo-doo. They come to that. The crowds will always come to hear something that appeals to and strengthens their flesh. Ahab's Jezebel had her own prophets of Baal. She allowed the prophets of Baal to eat at her table. They tickled her ears by telling her what she wanted to hear. She wanted to hear whatever she thought might bring an increase of power, control, and grandeur to herself. Another group of people that Jezebel surrounded herself with were the eunuchs, castrated men. Castrated men, men who had been ripped off for their sexuality. She had them around her. She had the false prophets of Baal around her. They were men, because Jezebel hates men and wants to control men, because God has invested his authority in men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me stop right there, and Friday we will continue in this lesson. I pray the Lord has blessed you. I pray the Lord has confirmed the revelation that he has already invested in your spirit, which you were unable to intelligently articulate. You know it. Deep down in your bones, you know it. You just can't put it into words. I pray this message is able to do that for you. Hence, you can declare amen and amen. I pray that the Lord continue to enlighten you and to lead you out by his Spirit, lead you out of the harlot church system. Remember, you can contact me with your questions via the email address cocdm1@yahoo.com. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you in perpetuity, is my perpetual prayer for you. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.